We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one from Clearwater, Florida. Hey, maybe you're one of those people who watches these shows like Storage Hunters or Storage Wars, where these folks go to these storage rooms that have been neglected, and eventually, you know, the contents are, well, they're auctioned off to the highest bidder. Well, apparently this type of situation happened in Clearwater, Florida. And the manager of the self-storage facility first placed a phone call to the person who had been renting this storage facility for years, this particular one, and let her know that, you know, she was behind on payments and that if she did not go ahead and pony up what was owed, they were going to auction off what was inside. Well, the woman told the manager, "You can't do that." And he says, "Oh, yes, I can." She says, "Oh, no, you actually can't." And he says, "What do you mean?" She said, "You cannot auction off what's in there legally because my grandmother is in there." The guy says, "What do you mean your grandmother is in the storage unit?" She said, "My grandma, she's been in there for a long time." The guy opened up the storage unit and found a long blue casket inside. For 17 years, this lady's grandmother had been sitting there in his storage unit. The guy was obviously shocked. There was not a good immediate explanation for this. He contacted the officials. They now have located the death certificate for the grandmother. She died in 1995. And was reportedly properly prepared for burial. I guess everybody presumed that she had been buried, but we're trying to figure out exactly why this happened. She had just been sitting there for 17 years. And I cringe to think about what may have been happening to her. Was she only sitting there undisturbed, or was she perhaps the subject of some playtime? I've heard similar tales in the past. We've got plenty of good ones for you tonight, my friends. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua.
I am back fresh from my big trip to Charleston, South Carolina to debut my program 2012, Raw Truth and the Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan.
How did it go over?
It was a huge success. In fact, a little later I'll tell you some about the program and a little adventure that I got into that was unexpected.
Always unexpected adventures in Charleston.
Well, I was hoping you could make it down there, because if so, you would have been helpful when it comes to the bind that I ended up being in.
Really?
Yeah. you could have helped me out. I'm not so sure, however, if Investigator Shelley Wright would have been useful. I actually doubt it.
I can get anybody out of any bind.
I don't know. It's possible that you may have been more helpful than Forrest, depending on some variables we'll get into. Once I explain what happened down there, this will all make perfect sense. But I did something I've never done before in my entire life, and it was a little bit scary, I'll be honest with you. Investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop, we're trying to toughen you up a little bit, Shelley, because you've got this huge expedition to Transylvania coming up in a few months. And I'm a little worried about you.
Why?
Well, because you are going to stand out like this big, radiant, bright target in the land of the dark-haired vampires.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go right for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're pale enough so we can practically see your veins from across the room. I can see your veins. You don't think the vampires over there are going to just latch onto you, and I'm going to be unable to stop them. I'm not an immortal. I do have great power. I'm very, very physically powerful, Forrest.
Yes, you are.
Just look at that. Isn't that impressive?
Bulging muscle.
Tall.
I do this all day long. See, I'm working out that bicep. It's a special exercise, lifting various cans and cups.
16-ounce curls.
Exactly. But no, really, Shelley, this is going to be a huge trip for all of us.
Right.
And we're going to have like 40 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're all together, we've got group power.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to go into these villages. We're going to break up into little, everybody gets to do their own thing. And I have a feeling that you and probably Patricia are just going to disappear down some alleyway, and we'll be like, oh, we'll meet you guys in an hour.
Okay, first of all, you forget how dangerous my day job is.
Okay, she's just not taking this seriously for us.
She's not. She's over there going, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
I'm
mm-hmm.
worried about the ladies. I really am.
He says, you're going to get eaten by vampires and werewolves.
Yeah.
Look at that red hair.
There are crazy people there. And
children of the night.
Yeah, they're even if you think there's no such thing as a real vampire or a werewolf, that location attracts people who believe they are werewolves or vampires. And I think once you start believing it, you kind of morph into it.
Sort of like a reverse tulpa effect.
Yes. And in fact, or maybe even a tulpa effect. But regardless, an internal tulpa, we'll call it.
Okay.
You know, Ted Bundy, he is quoted very famously for saying, quote, sometimes I feel like a vampire. And he goes on to justify that by wanting to eat women and suck their blood and all the... Which he did. You know,
yeah.
He ate pieces of them and whatnot.
He was just a run-of-the-mill, nasty serial killer.
Well, that's good enough.
He was also a necrophiliac and never had the balls to admit that.
I don't know. He never admitted that?
No, he never did.
Hmm. Well...
I did everything else, but no, I never did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the reasons that he was... convicted. I mean, obviously the evidence was overwhelming, but one of the key pieces of evidence everybody remembers is the impression of his teeth in a victim.
because he had a, you know, well, we all have unique teeth.
Snaggletooth.
Yeah, he had kind of a weird little tooth thing, and they actually held up photographs of his teeth marks on victims, which further supports this kind of vampire mentality. So, anyway, it's...
Okay.
It's going to be a big one.
Well, of everything, just don't forget about my innate meanness.
Okay, fine. She's all tough and defiant, but we'll see. We'll see if she's going to make it in Transylvania.
And notice that there's no... Joshua saying, don't worry, I'll make sure you're okay. I'll protect you. Oh, no, it's every girl for yourself.
I've got to be honest here. I might not have the power to fend off these three
ones
in the night.
What's the food situation going to be like there?
Yeah, that's very important to me.
Well, I don't know exactly what they eat over there. I've been asked a couple times, other than redheads. I'm not sure what is on the menu, so we'll find out. But, hey, you know, while I was gone, I got some sad news, and I'll just touch on this briefly because that a lot of you listening won't even know what I'm talking about. A friend of mine, Stuart Coleman, passed away. And Stuart Coleman was a major developer here in Asheville, and he and his partners created Pax Tavern. And our museum used to be in the old jail building right behind Pax Tavern. We are now in the new location in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. But for a year, we were in the old jail building that is actually owned by the Pax Tavern folks. And we were there for that year because of Stuart Coleman. Stuart Coleman, I know that he was a very controversial guy, but I can tell you honestly, personally, he was always very warm and friendly and respectful. He was a thoughtful guy. I cannot tell you how many conversations that I had with him about local history. And he was often portrayed for being like this, you know, ruthless developer who didn't care about anything but money. And there are people who claim that's how that they saw him behave. I never saw that. So I can only speak to my own experience. I didn't know the guy on an extremely personal level. But the times I was around him, I admired the guy. And he was the guy. I remember when I first said to him, what do you think about turning this into a building? I was sitting there with Vance Pollock and my wife, Lauren. And he just looked at us and did this and just lifted up both thumbs, and there was this spark in his eye, and he really opened the door for us to do this. And if it weren't for him, I'm not sure that this museum would have come together. Maybe someday it would have, but he was the guy who created that opportunity at that time. So God bless the soul of Stuart Coleman as far as I'm concerned. And he was only 63 years old, and what's kind of odd is that the last time I was in Charleston was, gosh, it's been maybe a couple of years ago now. You were down there last time I was there, a year and a half. Actually, both of you were down there.
Yeah.
I went down just for pretty much a long weekend, and he died in Charleston. I knew he had a house down there. So, anyway, sad news, but a lot of things are changing here as 2012 goes on, and I had a phenomenal time in Charleston. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you about what happened down there and this really wild experience. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, where we discuss the amazing, the remarkable, the paranormal, the weird. It's called Speaking of Strange, and we'll be back right after this.
Without a doubt, they turn it out. Without a doubt, they turn it out. Without a doubt, they turn it out. Without a doubt, without a doubt.
Yeah, speaking of strange, thanks for spending your evening with us. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. By the way, you know what? We have some ghost hunts coming up in Asheville. There's one February the 10th. Also, we are conducting some free tours. Did you hear that? I said free tours on Saturdays at 2 p.m. that will also take you into the Asheville Mystery Museum. Go check it all out. Look at the updates at hauntedasheville.com. That's hauntedasheville.com. There's a link at speakingofstrange.com, and that's where you'll also find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to the Ghost Tour Facebook page, Twitter, all that business. Forrest, you know how you get older and you finally get to the point to where you just don't really care as much about your birthday anymore?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you have a birthday coming up, as a matter of fact. And I'm not targeting this at you, but it's just ironic because here it is, it's February.
Right.
And do you know that last month was the 8-year anniversary of this show?
Wow.
Yeah. And we...
Wow. We just let it fly by.
Yeah. We got other stuff to do.
I mean, I remember the first couple years. I've been on and off a producer for that whole time, pretty much. But I remember in the first couple of years, you had big, huge parties and, like, special guests in here. And
I've pretty much done that every year up until this year, the year 2012.
Right.
And I think it's because, for one thing, we just have so much other stuff to talk about. And part of having a party is kind of looking back and rehashing things. And it just seems like there's so much going on, we've just been going full speed ahead.
Exactly.
But, hey, happy birthday to Speaking of Strange. 8 years on the air. How many shows make it 8 years anymore? Not a lot.
Not many.
I've seen so many shows come and go.
I mean... Can we figure out how many shows have we done? Let's say we do an average of 40 shows a year. I mean, give or take with ball games.
I usually figure that up, what I can tell you, I haven't done the math yet. I'll do it at some point, but I know you could listen to this show nonstop, 24 hours a day for months. That's how much content we put out there. And I'll tell you something else.
How much time I've sat in this chair?
Yeah. There was a documentary that we did years ago called Talking Tall about the talk radio business, and it featured a bunch of different radio shows in it. All of them are gone now except for this one. And this one, you know, went through a little rocky period there where we didn't know if we were going to be back on the air or not. We went through some big changes. But Take a Stand with Matt Matan is gone. Verado's show is gone. Angela Moore's show. Yeah, the World of the Unexplained show. We are the only show that has remained, and that's because we've adapted, and people love it. People love this show.
Simply the best.
And I, you wouldn't believe the pickup I'm getting from people listening to the program now that we're syndicated. And the syndication is I've got some good stuff in store. I don't want to jinx it by talking about it right now. I'll tell you some stuff privately later for us.
Okay.
But the syndication stuff is looking good. Hey, and tonight... we are going to talk about a lot of strange stuff. I'm about to tell you a little bit about my experience in Charleston. But something that I want to get into a little bit the second hour of the program is something that I don't want to scare you. This is not doom and gloom. But we are going to discuss a list that is put out regarding this year, 2012. 12 reasons the world will end this year. Now, I don't believe the world's going to end this year. I really honestly don't. But some people do. And I'm going to go down the list.
12 reasons? Like, that doesn't sound right. 12 causes, but not reasons?
I guess you could say that. But, for example, like one is the plague. Okay? Or one is like solar flares. or one is Harold Camping's Rapture, that sort of thing, right?
Okay.
So we're going to go down a list of 12 of these and give you our opinion on whether or not this is going to happen, because you're going to hear more and more about this as the year goes on. December 21st is the big date. And so, of course, I went down to Charleston to debut my live show. And people came from all over the place. I feel kind of bad. One guy was coming all the way from California for this, and I think he like had a plane issue and didn't make it in time for the program. And not my fault, but you know, the guy. Imagine coming all the way from California just to see me talk for a couple hours. That's pretty wild. So anyway, my friends Linda Kladowski and Paul, we call him Shag, her daughter Tony, and Tony's boyfriend Dakota, they put in a lot of work to set this up for us at Gage Hall. And they are just so wonderful. They're so talented. You know, I looked for was just a space with a screen where I could put a projector and stand up there and talk. They set up all this great lighting and then this mixing board with speakers, so there was cool music playing when people went in and out. Shag, as it turns out, is a great composer. He actually composed a lot of this music. And I know that even if it had sucked, I would probably say, oh, it was great. But no, really, it was. It was perfect. The atmosphere was... It was a real show down there, you know, and the people were very warm, and it was like a conversation I was having with everybody. So the show turned out to be wonderful, and I got to see Mark and Rebel, you know, Mark Jones, Rebel Sinclair. I love them. They're fascinating. They're the best tour guides down there in Charleston, Black Cat Tours. And Mark took us on some wonderful tours, and we just did all the fun stuff, right? And I also want to thank Linda and her family for giving me a little treasure chest at the end of my weekend. And I won't tell you exactly what was in it, but it was special reserve. And it was, oh, it's good stuff. I'm a little spoiled now, to be honest. See, people who really know me, they know what to buy me for a gift. But one of our friends down there is Angela. And you know Angela well, Forrest. You and Angela went to school with each other way back.
We did, back in the Stone Age.
Yeah. Shelly, you've never met Angela, I don't think.
Yes, I have.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. When we were in Charleston, you met Angela. Okay, she was working on a schooner down there at the time, right?
Yeah, that's one time I met her.
Okay. Angela, she has... a new job down there. And I've worked with her in a bunch of different movies over the years and TV stuff. And, you know, you never know what she's into. She's kind of an adventurer down there.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah. So Angela came out and she said that she just absolutely loves this new job she has. Because when she was working on the schooner before, we would go down there and we would go sailing. And it was just, you know, it was a fantastic adventure. Now she... is a horseback riding instructor. And she, by herself pretty much, takes care of this huge piece of property with 30 horses on it. And she has the best job in the world. She just loves getting out there every day and, you know, teaching people how to ride these horses. And these horses, they're not ridden in the Western style.
English.
Yeah, they're English style. So very good, Forrest. You know what I'm talking about here. Because I wasn't exactly sure.
There's no big thing right there between your legs.
That's right. There's nothing to hold on to.
Yeah.
And also, you control the horses in a much more complex way. So, like, if you're just a big old fat cowboy and you just sit in a big old leather saddle, you just kind of pull the horse around where you want him to go. But when you're doing it English style... you apply, like, pressure with your right foot and pull the rein to the left to get it to go left. Or you do, apply pressure with the left foot and pull the rein to the right to get it to go right. You squeeze the horse to make it go. You relax and sit back to make it stop. There are all these specific things you have to do with your body. You're engaged with the horse as if you are one. I won't use the analogy that Angela gave, but... you can maybe use your imagination for how she describes how you must relate to the horse. Anyway, so she said, hey, if you the day after my program, she says, hey, if you want to go horseback riding, let me know. And you can come on down and, you know, we'll go out on a trail. So at first I was like, well, that sounds like a tempting offer. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just not sure. I haven't been on a horse in 15 years. And the last time I was on a horse, something terrible happened. We're going to take a break. I decided, of course, to go do this. And when we come back, I'm gonna tell you what happened. It's quite a tale. Hopefully you'll enjoy this. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's Speaking of Strange.
Right about now, the funk soul brother, check it out now, the funk soul brother, right about now, the funk soul brother, check it out now, the funk soul brother, right about now, the funk soul brother, check it out now, the funk soul brother, right about now, the funk soul brother, right about now, about now, about now, about now.
Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. And I'm about to tell you about my little equestrian adventure down in Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, it's funny, while I was down there, I didn't get to meet, obviously, all the people in the crowd, but we were selling books, and there was this guy who came up to Lauren down there, and he said that a couple months ago he had lost this job that he had had for years and just didn't know what he was going to do, and I'm sure there are many, many people in his situation. He heard me talking on the radio. He went to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P there. joshuapwarren.com. And he saw that he could buy the Money Science Kit for $9.95. He bought it. He did the exercises. And he said in less than 2 weeks, he got a telephone call. And they told him there had been a change in management, and they rehired him back to his job. And he said it was so incredible, he's now buying these up and just giving them to his friends and people who need things. And I have lots of stories like that. It makes me feel great. It's good karma. And one thing that we're selling a heck of a lot of there now are these wishing machine radionic boxes. If you don't know what a radionic box is, go there to joshuapwarren.com, click the link to the Wishing Machine Radionics box. It's a box with 9 knobs on it. Read about it and watch the little video there. And it's hard to explain what it is, but we've already sold these in England and all over the country. Okay, so let me just give you a little bit of background about my experience with horses in general. Growing up, my mom and dad used to just buy all kinds of useless animals. I have no idea why they bought all these. I mean, I practically grew up on a little farm. They had a bunch of land, and so, you know, from time to time, they would just buy things. You know, they had goats and rabbits and chickens, and so finally, you know, one day they decided just for the hell of it to buy a horse. And that's a big undertaking, really, to purchase a horse. We had the space for it, But again, I'm just not sure why we got it. But they bought this big horse. It was a beautiful horse. I think it was what they call a Palomino. I don't remember exactly, but it was golden colored. Its name was Buttercup. And Buttercup was an impressive striking horse, but we didn't ride her all that much. And again, I'm just not sure why we had the darn thing. So one day we decided to sell her. And my mom and dad would really let me and my sister get around Buttercup because they knew how dangerous horses can be. So they decided to sell Buttercup. And there was a guy who lived a few miles down the road who fancied himself quite a horse expert, and he decided to come over and buy that thing. So he came to the house. He says, "I'll take the horse," and he brought his father with him. Now, let me tell you something first off. This dude who came over to buy the horse, this cowboy, this dude, sorry if he's listening, it's been a long time, but he's a big old boy. Okay, I wouldn't want him sitting on my back. Let's put it that way. Big old, it's like slobbering redneck cowboy dude. So he comes. So he comes over, and he's got his dad with him. And his dad, I'm going to get my ass kicked when I get out of the studio. He's going to be, "Well, I heard you. That was a long time ago, but I don't forget nothing." So anyway, he brought his dad with him, and his dad had a horse carriage. Or not a horse carriage, I guess it's a horse trailer, that's what you call it. And so the idea was to put the horse in the trailer and take it down to his farm. And the guy says, "No, I'm going to ride this thing. I'm going to ride it." And so he started cramming a bit in the horse's mouth. It's just a little metal piece. And Buttercup never liked taking a bit. When she got a bit, she would start slinging her head back really, really hard. Now, that's kind of scary when a horse starts doing that. So he said, "Any horse I have is going to take a bit." So he puts the bit in her mouth. He swings his dense, bulky mass up on her. And immediately, Buttercup slings her head back and pop, hits him right in the forehead. Okay. You can see the guy start seeing little birds and stars. Yeah, just like something out of a cartoon. Just knocks the crap out of this guy right in his head. So he got off the horse, and that was a bad sign. That was like a forewarning. And my dad was like, "I told you she doesn't like a bit." This just makes the guy even more ticked off and determined, however. So he gets back up on Buttercup, and his dad goes driving down. We had a long driveway, driving down the driveway, and the guy goes galloping off on Buttercup. About, I don't know, maybe at the most 10 minutes later, this strange car comes tearing up the driveway. And there are a couple of kind of younger dudes in it. And one of the guy at the steering wheel, he leans out. My dad's doing some yard work. And the younger guy at the steering wheel leans out and says, "Hey, did you just sell a guy a horse?" My dad says, "Yeah. You might want to call an ambulance." Turns out, this guy had gotten not too far down the road, actually. And this horse had started slinging around, and he starts using his weight, and they're kind of going back and forth. And I don't know how this happened, but somehow his saddle with his big old fat butt on it had just slid over to the side and bashed his head on the concrete of the cement of the road. So we go down there, and there's blood everywhere. The guy is unconscious. He might be dead for all we know. And they rushed him off to the hospital where he stayed for several days. And, I mean, he finally ended up being okay. But I, to this day, don't know exactly what the fate of Buttercup was. Again, I'm probably going to find out now. I'm going to get a call from this guy when this airs. I'm sorry. So,
are you sure the guy even remembers buying Buttercup?
I'm betting on the fact that he won't. I'm hoping that bashing of the head part did something about it. So that said, that was like one of my earliest impressions of horses. Now I'm going to go to what happened to me the last time I was on a horse. See, I'm working my way up to what happened in Charleston. So the last time I was on a horse was 15 years ago. I was in high school, And there was this chick at high school who had horses, and she invited me to go over and ride one day. And I wasn't even supposed to do it because, you know, my girlfriend at the time would have thought this was a betrayal for me to go to this other girl's house and ride her horse. I know that sounds bad, but nothing went on. I just rode her horse. That was the idea. I was going to ride another woman's horse. So I decided to do this. I went over there. And the family of the young lady said, now, when you get this horse, we'll call it Daisy. When you get Daisy out in the field, be real careful because there's this other horse, Jack, and he's wild. He's not broken. Don't get Daisy around Jack, right? I'm like, okay. So then we go by, and she goes by her grandmother's house, and her grandmother's like, oh, don't get Daisy around Jack. You know, so we keep hearing this don't get Daisy around Jack story over and over. So we go out to the barn. She hooks up the saddle and everything. I get on top of the horse. It's a big old horse, Daisy. Daisy goes galloping off into the field, and she stops all of a sudden dead in her tracks. And she just looks at Jack, the wild horse, across the field, and she just starts tearing, just galloping toward him. Full, like, Indiana Jones speed. Just blah, blah, blah. And so I do what you always do in the movies. You grab the reins, and you go, whoa! Whoa! And you're and it wasn't doing any good whatsoever. Absolutely nothing was happening. So, but still, I was doing okay, you know, keeping myself on top of the horse. Daisy got right up to Jack and made this incredible 90-degree turn to the right. And at that point, believe it or not, what happens? The freaking saddle slips over just like it had done to the fat cowboy years before in my childhood. The saddle slips over on the side, but now I'm still hung in it. I didn't hit my head. So I'm hanging off this horse, probably at like a 45-degree angle pointing downward, like some stunt guy, right? And there's just hooves and dirt clods flying everywhere, and I mean, but I was still, I didn't have any idea how this was going to end. How am I going to get out of this situation? And I see up ahead, she's running toward a fence. And then I realize, oh my God, if this horse tries to jump this fence, it's going to tear my head off. So the horse goes full speed up to this fence and then does another 90-degree turn. And that time, it rockets me like a missile off of the horse. I hit the ground head first and slide several feet on this side of my face. The horse is kicking and all around me. I'm rolled up into a little ball. There's nothing but chaos and confusion. Finally, the horse runs away. I sit there, you know, I'm seeing my life flash before my eyes, but I'm so relieved that the horse has run off. It seems like maybe I'm going to get away with this. The chick, I look up, and she comes running down the hill screaming. And I set up, and she looked at me, and she grabbed her face and gasped, and she said, oh, my God, your face! You ever had anybody say that to you? Oh, my God, your face! I had all the skin ripped, all the skin torn, all the hide was gone off the right side of my face. I looked like Two-Face on Batman. I had a book signing that night.
Oh, no.
I had to explain to everybody why I looked like this monster. My girlfriend would have been angry, but she forgave me. She felt so sympathetic. We're going to take a break. I haven't even told you what happened to me over the weekend. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange.
Back. They just have to go, cause it's on the way.
I'm Joshua P. Warren. We're in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight. Speaking of strange, next hour we're going to talk about the 12 reasons the world may end this year. Stick around for that. Sounds interesting, huh? But I'm telling the story right now. You see what my experience with horses has been. It always ends with something bad. So here's what happened in Charleston this past weekend. So our friend Angela is a horse riding instructor there, English style. And there's a nice big piece of property that has like 30 horses on it. It's a really big piece of property. Obviously, everything's flat. It's on an island down there. And so Lauren and I go with Angela. And the idea is that this will take like an hour. We'll saddle up, we'll ride a little trail, and, you know, that'll be that. So once we arrived there, right off the bat, there was a horse loose named Buddy. And Angela was like, I don't think he's supposed to be up. It's possible that the lady who owns the horses let him out, because once in a while she just lets a horse out. I don't know why. But she says, I don't think Buddy's supposed to be out. Okay, but fine, doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. So we go to the stalls there, I guess you call it, and so Angela, she gets the horses out that we're going to ride on and hooks them up to their little posts to be saddled up. My horse was named S'mores. He had black and white splotches on him. And so, and he was big. Because, you know, I'm no small guy. You know, I'm 6'2". I'm around 200 pounds. And, you know, you need a decent-sized a stud, we'll say. A stud for a stud. And so, she gives us some brushes, and she's like, oh, you know, you can brush these down if you want to. And, you know, she's getting ready to get everything saddled. And Angela comes up to me, and she goes, we got a little problem here. I said, oh, yeah, what's that? And she says, two more horses are loose. And I look over, and I see these two pale horses, like the four horses or the four horsemen of the apocalypse might ride on. And these, as it turns out, are two ungelded males. So pretty much that means all the plumbing is working, and they've got a lot of hormones pumping, and they're not trained, and they're wild, crazy. They're buck wild horses. So now there are three horses loose on this property. And to me, it didn't sink in that this was like that big of a deal, because I figured, well, surely there's a protocol for getting horses, you know, rounded up once they've escaped. They've had, you know, they've probably done this before. There's some kind of system. No, actually, there's, you know, they've never had this happen before. So I'm still not realizing exactly what's going on. I'm just, you know, brushing my horse. It turns out these three horses, they get together and they're just like raising hell. They're forming some kind of demonic alliance. I hear them just like screaming, and they're jumping around, and they're bashing things. And the next thing I know, here Lauren and I are just standing there with our docile horses that we're brushing down, relatively docile horses, and these three other horses just start running full speed, just side by side, just coming our way. And again, I figure, surely this can't be so outrageous. This must happen from time to time. These three horses come tearing through the stalls there, the barn we were, and I mean, they're running so fast, their legs are sliding out from under them, and just, they're coming right for me. And I had to, like, jump out of the way as these three big horses just, I mean, just, like, blasted right by me. And when this happens, our horses go, and they go up on their, and I mean, suddenly, it's hit the fan. The whole, all the other horses, there's like, you know, 25 other horses, and they're all screaming and carrying, and everybody's just, the whole place is going crazy. So, my instinct is like, let's just ignore this is happening, and let's just get on our horses and get the you-know-what out of here. But Angela says, no, we need to round these horses up. Round's not the right word. What do you wrangle?
Corral.
Wrangle. And she said, I'm going to need you guys to help me wrangle these three horses up, including these two really wild ones. And so I look over and I see a whip laying there. So I picked up the whip. Now let me tell you, if you follow my Twitter account, you can go there and see a picture of me. I was wearing a fedora. I had the leather jacket. I got the whip. I'm Indiana Jones now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will continue this story. I'll tell you how all this turns out. And then we're going to get into 12 reasons the world may end this year. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, and occasionally also my travel blog. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.